that experience was so vivid and so real in my brain. And I started documenting it. I started like texting on this, the notes app on my phone. And Satan didn't lie. He was right there. And he said, "You didn't just experience that."
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. We are so excited to be joined by Kelly Cannon. That's a really cool name, by the way.
Thank you.
I just happened across a TikTok video that Kelly put out, and I thought it's an incredible story, incredible experience. And I'm excited for you all to hear it. Hopefully you haven't seen it yet on TikTok, but if you haven't after this, go check it out on TikTok. And, Kelly, we'll turn it over to you, let you give a brief introduction, and then go ahead and get going on your experience.
Perfect. First off, thank you for having me. This is exciting for me to get to tell my story to even more people. I love sharing this experience because it's been life-changing in a huge way. So my name is Kelly Cannon. I am married to my wife, Sarah. We have three beautiful children. We are from Idaho Falls area, but my career, I'm in sales, so I kind of move around a little bit. So we've been in like six different homes in the last like 5 years. It's been a wild ride, but we're back in Idaho Falls right now. Happy to be here, back in our hometown and with a bunch of our family. And the experience that we're going to talk about today actually happened this summer down in Arizona. And I'm going to get emotional like really fast, just so you know. But
I will too.
Okay. So the last couple of years of my life, I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I've been less than active in the church. They call it less active. And I haven't gone to church much. Football was definitely more important than church on Sunday. And so I started
during the fall. I mean, that's,
yeah, I know I'm getting reactivated right in time for football. It just doesn't make sense. So for years, I found excuses not to go to church. I found excuses to be angry with the church, and I found excuses to, any excuse I could come up with just to not to go to church. I always thought people were judging me, or that I didn't feel the spirit when I went to church, and whatever excuse I could come up with. And I always maintained my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've always loved the gospel in its purest form. But for some reason, I had this disconnect with the church. So for the last couple of years, I'd been dabbling with, you know, I'd taken a couple of THC gummies and tried alcohol a few times and explored other avenues, if you will. And, you know, while I was out there this summer, it was not uncommon for me to take an edible and just go to sleep. And I was talking to a customer about a month and a half ago, and the customer mentioned that he grows and sells weed. And I was like, that's really cool. This is the first time I'd met somebody that had grown it legally. Everywhere else you go in Idaho, it's not legal, right? So I was talking to him, and he was explaining his whole business model and how he grows the plants, and he extracts all this stuff from it, and then he puts it into the oil form, and then he made gummies out of it. And he walked me out to this grow room, this place where he grew everything, and he showed me the whole process. I was like, that is really cool. I've never seen this side of it. Totally legal. He does it in his backyard, but he's what they call a caregiver in Arizona. And for my job, I sell solar and batteries in Arizona there. And well, he didn't pass credit, but he wasn't a buyer of me. He wasn't a customer of mine, but he's like, hey, you want to try one of these gummies? And I was like, well, yeah, I try gummies all the time. Cool. And he's like, I got to warn you, these are pretty powerful. He's like, this is 50 milligrams. And I was like, oh, the most I've ever done before was like 2 5 milligram gummies. And he's like, yeah, definitely don't take the whole thing. I was like, okay, cool. He warned me. Anyways, he gives me a bag of 6 of these gummies, and I take it home and I show my wife, and I was like, and she's like, you're not going to eat that whole thing, right? Because my wife is very supportive. I don't know how I got blessed with such an amazing wife, but she's like, whatever I decide to do, she backs me. And she questions things, but she's just super supportive. So as I've had this like faith crisis that I've been going through, she still continues to go to church. She still is an amazing example to my kids, but she knows where I'm at and she knows where my heart is at. Anyways, I bring these home and I show them to my wife, and she's like, you're not going to like take one of those, right? And I was like, well, I don't know, maybe. And this was like on a Thursday. Well, that Friday, the next day, I knew that I had a couple appointments on Saturday, but 5 milligrams usually goes through my system, and I'm completely out of it the next day, or I'm completely back the next day. Usually I just go to sleep, right? I take a 5 milligram, I go to sleep. So I take a nibble of this 5 milligram or 50 milligram gummy, and then I was like, ah, what the heck? I'm going to go to sleep anyways and just pop the whole thing, right? So anybody that's ever tried that knows that you don't just go to sleep on a 50 milligram. It doesn't happen. So I'm laying there. This is like 10 o'clock-ish when I took it. And about midnight rolls around. My wife's fast asleep. And I was watching an Apple TV show. I was watching, I can't even remember what show it was, but it was like a series. And midnight comes, and I change my view, and I look like this, and the whole room just starts spinning. And I was like, oh crap, it's hitting. I better fall asleep. And so I lay there, and I'm trying to fall asleep, and things are just going crazy. And man, like my heart rate's beating right now because I'm remembering everything. My heart rate starts going like faster than it should for somebody that's laying down. It's like 120, 130 beats per minute. And I'm just laying on the bed, and I start getting a little worried about it because my heart like skips, and I could feel it, and I'm hyper aware of what's happening. Again, I'm high as crap right now, so I'm aware of what's happening, but I'm focusing on my heart, and I could not get it to stop. I couldn't get it to calm down. And at this point, I get a little bit worried. I'm actually afraid because this doesn't normally happen. Usually I just fall asleep, right? So I lean over and I wake my wife up, and she's like, what's going on? And I said, well, I can't get my heart rate to stop. I'm a little worried. And she's like, did you eat that? And I was like, yeah, I ate the whole thing. And she's like, why would you do that? And I was like, well, I thought I was just going to fall asleep. She's like, well, are you worried? And I was like, yeah, I'm actually pretty worried. I don't know if you need to call an ambulance, but I cannot get my heart rate to calm down. And I said, not to worry you, but like my heart is skipping a beat. And she's like, well, what do we need to do? And I said, well, I don't know, but I can't lay here anymore because I can't fall asleep. So I got up and the whole room is spinning. I almost fall over. I make my way out to the couch and I sit there. And my wife's pretty frantic at this point. She's worried for me. Again, she's super supportive. She wasn't negative about it. She's just like, I'm worried, Kelly. Do I need to call the ambulance? And I was like, well, first off, let's call Brandy and Ryan. So Brandy and Ryan are amazing people. They're potheads, if you will, but they know exactly what I'm going through in my life right now. They've gone through it. They're very good people. And I knew that anytime I had an experience like this, or if I ever had an experience, I could call them. Answered right away. Ryan was drunk. He was funny, but he was drunk. He's like, dude, whatever you're doing right now, whatever you're going through, just calm down. Remember that, like, reality is still there, that you can calm down. Just remember that this is, or that you're sitting on the couch with your wife. Remember all this stuff. Focus on that. And Brandy was on the phone, his wife, and she's doing the same thing, trying to calm me down, trying to tell me that it's completely normal that my heart's doing that, that I just need to focus on that. And the whole time they were explaining that, like, I knew they were trying to help me calm down, but I was hyper aware that my heart wasn't right. My heart was still skipping a beat. There was something physically wrong that I'd never experienced before, even on these other 5 milligram episodes that I'd had. So I'm sitting there on the couch with my wife next to me, Brandy on the phone, and I remember having that, call it an out-of-body experience, but I went away from my body, and I saw, it was almost as if I was floating above my house, and the roof of my house had been taken off, and I could see me sitting next to my wife on the couch, and I see my wife start shaking my body, like trying to wake me up. And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is all surreal to me. And I see my kids in bed. I see the light in the, everything was so vivid. The light was on in the kitchen. And I hear my wife make a phone call, and she's bawling. And she calls the paramedics. The paramedics show up within, you know, 15-ish minutes, and I'm watching this whole thing play out. They put my body on a stretcher, and my wife makes another phone call. And again, I don't remember who she called at that point. I don't know if I ever knew who she called, but I could tell she made another phone call, and she's frantic. And my kids are still asleep. Somehow they stayed asleep through this whole thing. And I see them take me to the hospital. And I'm in a room in the hospital, and this whole vision is, it's kind of dark. Like, the light in this vision was just dim. And I'm in the hospital, and pretty soon I hear the words where they pronounce me dead. And that's like surreal for me. Like, they just told me that I'm dead. It pans back to my wife. She's bawling. My kids are awake at this time, and I'm watching this whole thing. Sorry. Go back to the hospital where they pronounced me dead. And the whole vision kind of skips forward a little bit, and I don't know if it's the next day or a couple days later, but it's a news article that I'm watching, like I'm watching a TV. And the news articles, it talks about how this guy from Idaho ingested this drug that he didn't know about. It ended up killing him. He passed away. And they kind of make light of the situation. They're like, yeah, some dumb guy, you know, took a drug that he had no business taking. And then it goes to weeks or months ahead. I'm not exactly positive. And this is where they talk about the investigation, and it goes into this like deep dive into this guy that gave me this gummy, and they completely tear his life apart. And in my mind, like, I'm after this vision, and after I'm here now, I start thinking about this whole thing, and why would they go into this guy's investigation into this guy's life if he's legally growing this? And there was an investigation, and then the lawsuits happened, and they tore this guy's life apart. They completely destroyed it, and he lost his business, he lost his house, he lost everything. And I kind of felt bad, but something screamed, like, that's not normal, right? Anyways, I'm watching this all happen, and it skips forward again. I'm maybe a month past me passing away, and I'm having one of those, like, I'm floating above again, watching this happen, and it's my mother-in-law talking to my wife back in Idaho, and my mother-in-law says something to the effect of, "How could he do that to you? How could he leave you and your kids like that? That's so, like, reckless. Like, why would he do that to you and your family?" And it was a super brief little glimpse. And then it goes to one of my buddies. And my buddy is a parole officer here in Idaho. And he kind of says the same thing. He's like, "Kelly, why would you take a drug like that? Why did he take a drug like that?" Because it's past tense. He didn't even know this guy. He just took a random drug from this dude. And I want to respond to this, but I can't respond. I'm not there. Fast forward another, it had to have been a couple of years at that point. And I watched my wife get remarried to an amazing man. Who provided stability. And my wife looked amazing. She looked happy. She looked at peace. And my kids were grown up a little bit, and they were taken care of. And they looked happy. And I wanted nothing more than just to give them a hug in that moment, but I couldn't because I wasn't there. I failed them, right? And the voice comes to me and it says, "This is the fulfillment of your patriarchal blessing. Once you have fulfilled your mission on earth, you will be called home." And in my patriarchal blessing, it does say something to that effect. That I will complete my mission on earth and I will go home to my Father in heaven once that mission is fulfilled. And instantly, I break down. I said, "What do you mean? What mission did I complete? I didn't do anything in life. I was an okay dad. I loved my kids, yeah, but I was an okay dad. I was addicted to gambling. I didn't have a savings account. I didn't treat my wife the way that she deserved to be treated. You're telling me that was my mission? Was to fail at life, to give my family nothing, and now I'm getting called home after failing." And keep in mind, this whole vision was dark. It was very dark. And at that moment, the light came in, and my Savior was there. And every pain, every struggle, everything faded away. And there was nothing but pure light. And he said, "Of course not. You didn't fail. You did exactly what we needed you to do. You taught your kids about love. You taught them where to turn to for joy. You taught them that. That's exactly what we expected of you." And he said, "Welcome home." And I've never personally experienced the love of my Savior quite like that. I've always known that my Savior loved me, but never to that extreme, never to that level. And when I say there wasn't a pain, there wasn't a struggle, there wasn't that constant dread that I'm not enough, the fear that I felt right before that, of the feeling that I had failed my family, that I had failed my children, that I'd failed my wife, that was gone. And I'm standing there, and I'm in the arms of my Savior. And we start having a conversation like we're best buds. And he starts talking to me, and nothing else mattered in that moment. Nothing. And I remember him saying something to the effect of, I've noticed that you haven't been going to church. I responded, well, I have a few issues with the church right now. And his exact words were, well, so do I. And anybody that has struggled with the church will understand that. And the beautiful part about that was, he said, can you imagine having to work with imperfect people to bring my gospel to the world? Can you imagine how hard that is? And for the first time, like, all the issues that I had with the church didn't matter. They were gone. And he said, you don't have to worry about the church. You don't have to worry about any of that. He's like, I just wanted you to live the gospel. I was like, man, yeah, that's what I should have focused on. I was like, I thought I was focusing on it, but apparently I missed the boat, right? And it was in that moment that I started coming back to Earth. Earth, I call it, right? That's the only way I can describe it. I left where I was with my Savior, and I came back, and I'm sitting on the couch again. And my wife is sitting next to me, and Brandy was on the phone still. And this could have been, I haven't asked my wife, but it could have been a matter of minutes. It felt like an eternity for me. And I'm sitting next to my wife, and I look at her, and I said, dear, I need to download what just happened. I wish there was a way I could plug a USB drive into my brain and just download everything that I just witnessed. You need to know what just happened. She's looking at me like, Kelly, you are high as a kite. Like, you're crazy. And I was like, I know I sound crazy right now. And Brandy, she chimes in and she's like, hey, everything you just witnessed is 100% real. It is real. It's valid. You need to pay attention to that. And I was like, it was so vivid. And she's like, it happened. And I was like, man, that's crazy. And it's about that moment that I recognize again, my heart's still going crazy. I recognize the pain in my chest and the heart skipping a beat again. And the fear came back. All that fear that I said went away when my Savior hugged me, the fear came back. And I'm starting to worry about it again. And I don't know how long I sat there with my wife, but pretty soon I feel like some confrontation on the other side. And I say other side, that's the only way I can describe it. It's like, this was Earth and there was somewhere else. And I felt some confrontation on that side, and I felt like I was getting pulled back to it. And pretty soon I had that out of body experience where I faded away, watched my wife and me sitting on the couch, and I fade away again. And I show up back in that same place. And it's a physical place. I was in a field. There was like a mountain with trees and like this path. And I'm there again. And this time there's two sides. There's the light side. And then there's this very dark side. And I hear the voice from the dark side. And I see this dark, dark figure. And the voice says he has to know that this is not just his decision. He needs to know that we all get a say in this. And I'm thinking, like, who is this guy? And what is he talking about? What decision? What choice? But there was so much, like, spite in his voice, the way that he said that. And, man, getting emotional. I remember at that point that I looked towards the light side. And have you guys ever seen the movie Inception, where you have like a dream within a dream?
Mm-hmm.
I had a vision within this vision. That's what tells me that this was real. Like, it wasn't just a vision I was having. I was about to see a vision, but I was in a physical location. So I'm standing there in this field, and I look over to the light side, and all of a sudden, it's like on a projector screen, I see me and my wife and my four kids. I have three kids, like I said in the beginning. I got four kids in this vision, and we're on a beach. And the light from that vision was unlike anything I'd experienced. It was so bright. And I saw me and my wife. And as you can tell, I got a few extra pounds on me. When I looked at this guy in this vision and my wife, we looked amazing. We look beautiful. My kids were amazing. And the way that he looked at her, and I say it is because those are two different people than me and my wife. The way that he looked at her, I've never looked at my wife that way. I've never loved my wife that way. It was incredible to watch. It was unlike anything that I've, any earthly love that I've ever seen. It was pure. And my kids were extremely happy. We didn't care about money. We weren't fighting. We were on vacation together. The stress was gone. There was nothing there. And it was at this point that I realized that I had a choice. I got to choose. Like, the first vision or the second vision. And I remember, talking to my Savior, and he says, this is what your future could look like. This is your potential. He says, but things have to change. And we had this conversation for a little bit, and I came back to earth this time a lot faster, and I'm sitting next to my wife on the couch, and I instantly start throwing up. I start like vomiting profusely. Just for context, weed doesn't do that to you typically. That something else was wrong with this. And I remember looking at my wife, and she's got a bucket for me. She's taking care of me. And the thought instantly pops into my head, you are such a burden to your wife. Like, you're ruining her life. Look what you're doing to her. And I believed it. I truly believed it. I was very remorseful at that time. And I think I told my wife a couple of times, I'm so sorry, dear. And then I realized there's this aha moment. My entire marriage, I have looked at my wife through this lens that I've created. That I see her as, she's only of value to me if she provides certain things to me. She takes care of my kids, or she cleans the house, or she does the dishes. That's that lens that I had created. And I remember realizing in that moment that these two visions that I saw were, I had a decision to make. And I'm sitting here with my wife, and she's taking care of me, and I remember talking to her and saying, how many times did I say that, dear? I get to choose. I get to choose. I repeated that. And she's probably still thinking, like, Kelly, you're high as a kite right now. Like, what are you talking about? And I remember telling her, I get to choose. I get to choose what we do. And I said, dear, if you could only see what I was seeing right now, if you could only witness what I was witnessing. And I knew at that moment that was my choice. 1,000% that was my choice. That I would go, I would choose that second vision over the first vision anytime. And at that point, my heart skipped a beat harder than it ever had before. And it like, I felt the pain in my chest. And I felt that confrontation that I talked about the first time on the other side again. And I get pulled back into this vision. I'm standing back in that same field again. And there's the distinct dark side, distinct light side. And the dark side says, this is not your choice. You do not get to choose that. And he goes back and forth. And the light side, oddly enough, there was never any pressure from the light side. And we know that now. Like, we know that we have free agency. We have free will. There was no pressure from that side, but it was much more attractive than the dark side in this vision. And I remember just kind of looking that way and saying that that's what I choose. I choose to go back. I choose my family. And Satan, with all this spite and all the anger, he says, you would literally choose to go back to that when you've been here with your Savior. You would choose to go back to that? You would, why? You're here. You've made it. You're done. Just give up. He says, your family's better off without you. You will ruin their lives if you go back. You're not going to change anything. You're not going to do anything for your family. They are better off without you. Give up now and let them live their life. And in whatever words I used, I basically said, nope, not going to happen. Be gone, right? He says, well, I will come at you with everything then. He said, if that's your choice, then I'm coming at you with every temptation, every trial, everything, if that's what you choose. And I said, kind of in a way, I said, bring it on. I had a different understanding at that point. And I didn't fear at that point. He didn't scare me at that point. He was, when the scriptures say the wailing and the gnashing of teeth from Satan or from the devil, he was so angry. And I didn't quite understand it during this vision, but now I get it a little bit more. But he was so angry that I would choose that. Like, why would I choose to go through all that pain and all this other stuff, knowing that I could still struggle in life? Why would I choose that if I was literally in the arms of my Savior? But at that point, I said, okay, you're done, Satan. Get thee hence, or whatever I said. He's gone. I'm standing there with my Savior. And the entire field is now bright. The vision was extremely, I keep saying vision, but I was in that field, that physical place. And I'm walking down this path with my Savior. And he said, if you choose this, he says, I have some expectations of you. He says, you have so much more to live up to than what you have up to this point. He says, you have so much that you can offer, not only to your family, but to the world. And I expect that from you. And he says, if you do that, if you go and share this message, if you talk about me every chance you get, if you spread my gospel and live my gospel, he says, I will make sure everything else is provided for you. But that has to be your focus. That's your new mission. And I said, done. 1,000 times done. And we sat there and chatted for a while. And it was a surreal experience, that last vision, just being in the presence of my Savior and not feeling any of the shame or the guilt or anything, but knowing that I got to go back with my family and the fact that I chose that. And I remember coming back and laying in bed. At this point, I was back in bed next to my wife, and my heart was just calm. I didn't feel any pain. My heart wasn't going crazy anymore. I was calm. And some people are going to say, well, that's just the drug wearing off. No, it was different. I was at peace. And that experience was so vivid and so real in my brain. And I started documenting it. I started like texting on this, the notes app on my phone. And Satan didn't lie. He was right there. And he said, you didn't just experience that. Whatever you just think you just saw, that was just because you were high. None of that was real. And I was like, man, it's so easy to recognize Satan now. That was my thought. Like, I know that's not my thought. That was one of the biggest blessings from this whole experience, is I could now recognize Satan trying to control me, versus before, when I would have those thoughts, I thought it was my own thought and I would let him control me. But he worked pretty hard on me that day and tried to make me forget everything. Even now, like, little snippets of it keep coming back. But he tried to tell me that that wasn't real. He tried to take that away from me. And boy, has he lived up to his promise. It's been about a month since then, and I made some pretty drastic changes in my life. In fact, I'm meeting with my bishop tonight to renew my temple recommend. Some people might know what that means, but it's a pretty big deal. And ever since then, he has come at me with everything. Every trial, every temptation, every temptation that I've experienced in life that I normally would give into, I have a little bit more strength to withstand those now. Because I know I'm not perfect, and I'm going to fail, and I know that. But just knowing the experience that I had with my Savior and that he loves me regardless is why I'm making these changes. But it's been a cool experience.
I have a lot of thoughts and things that I kind of want to try to articulate and put together. First of all, I want to kind of clarify to everybody what a patriarchal blessing is. We've talked about it a couple different times on the show. But basically, and you can read about it throughout the Bible. It doesn't specifically call them patriarchal blessings, but there's basically father blessings that people receive that are given. And a lot of times they're specifically in the Bible, they are prophetic blessings that, and in the church, we see them as there's warnings, there's blessings, there's all kinds of things that we learn from our patriarchal blessings that basically they're all different for different people, but like you said, it was in your blessing, it talks about being called home after your mission is complete. And so that's, and they're all really personal and they're incredible. But anyway, back on in your experience, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. And first of all, people can hear your story, your experience, and think, oh, well, he was on drugs. Like, God isn't going to come to anybody that is doing drugs or whatever. And if I'm being completely honest, maybe 6 months ago, I would have been one of those people that kind of had that. But since then, and this podcast has helped a ton with that, seeing how much God loves all of his children, no matter where we're at in life. And he will reach us where he sees fit. And the Savior is there waiting for us at every turn. It is up to us to turn to him. And maybe people could argue that you didn't really turn to him in that moment, right? That was more him coming to you, which, sure, you could argue that. But beside the point, that doesn't matter. But what I was going to say is, I don't know if you've really thought about this, but your story, that experience, is in the Bible. And I'm sure everybody that's listening that has read the Bible and have read from the Apostle Paul, he wasn't always Paul.
Right.
Before Paul, he was Saul, somebody who was not living the gospel, somebody who was doing his best to rip people from the gospel, right? And he had an experience that converted him. And after that, it was his mission to preach the gospel for the rest of his life. And that's what he did. So your story, it's not the first time it's happened to somebody, right? It happened to one of the greatest men that's ever walked this earth. And because of his experience with the Savior, he became an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so who am I to sit here and say God doesn't work like that, right? We all believe these things that these miracles, right, that have happened in the Bible that we read about. But it's so easy to get so disconnected from those things because it didn't happen in my day. Well, you all just heard that it has happened in your day. And you can think what you want, but I 100% believe that that experience that you had is real, was real. It happened. And for you, I don't think it matters what I think, right? Or what other people think when you tell this story. Your job is to get it out there and people can take what they want with it. And I'm also here to tell all of you listeners that you can have that experience. You don't have to go and take drugs to do it. I'm not.
Don't do drugs.
I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm telling you that you can have experiences with your Father in heaven, with our Savior Jesus Christ, and with the devil also. Everything that you said in your story, in your experience, your vision, everything that you said that Satan was saying, or the things that he was putting in your mind, those are all things that every single one of us can relate to. We have all had those thoughts. We have all had those feelings, those negative feelings or thoughts about ourselves, trying to convince us that we're not worth the things that we have. But those feelings that he's constantly, those thoughts that he's constantly putting into our minds, those are all real. And like you said, after your experience, that it's easier for you to recognize them now as those are not my thoughts. And in life, as human beings, when we can understand that those thoughts, when we are having those thoughts, they are from the adversary. They're from someone who is trying to destroy me, right? Man, it gives so much power when you can understand that and you can say, not today, get out of here. That's not my thoughts. Or those thoughts aren't from God. He doesn't make me feel that way or think that way, right? It's powerful. So regardless of you listeners, if you believe that what Kelly experienced actually happened or not, it doesn't matter. You need to go have an experience that can get you closer to your Savior, that can help you be happier, that can help you and teach you how to eliminate those negative thoughts that the adversary will put in your mind. And again, don't go do drugs to do it, but figure out exactly how to have those experiences. And you will notice and you will see that life, it's not really easier, but it's in a way it is easier. When you have the right mindset and when you know who is fighting for you, it makes the unbearable bearable.
Absolutely. I can't wait for everybody to be able to experience their Savior hugging them like that. And all of that shame and guilt and pain goes away. That I am truly blessed to be able to experience that. But even if you don't have that vision or that experience, you can feel that every day. But it's about recognizing that you have a choice in everything. I think that was one of the biggest themes of that experience for me, is that I got to choose. And I could choose happiness and love and joy over pain and hate and frustration. And everybody can choose that right now. You can choose joy. You can choose love. You can choose your family over what Satan is dangling in front of you. It's powerful.
I just have do you want to go? Go ahead.
I have another thought, but no,
don't forget. I just want to know how your wife is. Like, how is she now? Like, now I'm curious. Like, you know, with all this change that, you know, and it happening so quickly. I mean, I know that it's a work in progress, probably, sure. But.
No, there's definitely some growing pains there. Where her side of the story was kind of a different experience. She got to see me almost die. Like, she got to see the scary part of it. I sit here and talk about the experience like it was a great experience, but I didn't even, going into that, I didn't even like consider what she might experience. And again, it was mm-hmm. because I didn't really care at the time. I was just doing it for me. That was part of that lens that I had created for my wife. Like, what does she care? It's my body, right? Mm-hmm. But since then, she can definitely tell that I'm making a pretty drastic change in my life. And she's got to make changes too. Like, in order for us to live up to our potential and to love each other like that couple did, she has a lot of choices too. It's not me just dragging her along with me. She's making changes as well. And it's cool to see us kind of work through those and grow together. And then to see that reflect on how we treat each other and how we treat our kids and just our happiness in general. Like, we're still going to fight. It's clear. We're still going to have issues. We're not a perfect couple overnight, right? But we're building something, and it's cool to see that change. But yeah, I mean, her experience was very different than mine, but now she's starting to understand what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. She sounds like an angel.
She's put up with a lot of crap from me. She is an amazing person.
One more thing I wanted to touch on is I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You, Kelly, are a member of the church also. I'm not here to try to convert anybody or to get them to think and believe the same things that I do. For me, that's what has brought me the closest to my Savior that I know of, right? But I'm not here to convert anybody. You don't have to be a member of the LDS faith to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to be able to feel His love. And that's not what we're here for. I want everybody out there to know that He loves you and He is waiting for you. And it's not only found in my church. That's not what this is about. We've interviewed a lot of members of the church, but that's a lot because that's kind of our inner circle, right? In a way. But that's not the point. The point is I want everybody to feel loved and needed. So if I can ask you one thing, if there are people out there that are feeling lost or alone, you've experienced love on a different level, probably even different than me. Can you explain to somebody, or I guess as best you can, put words into them, just try to give somebody comfort that might be struggling with that right now?
Yeah, I think I touched on it a little bit, but we all have free agency in life, and Satan's one of his biggest tools in his tool belt. Number one is shame. He wants you to feel shame for every bad choice you've made, every sin you've committed. And when we feel shame, we want to hide that sin. I would encourage anybody to seek out their Savior in that moment instead of hide from their Savior. Apply the atonement and seek Him out. You can't hide your sin from God. You can't hide your sin from the Savior. Go and seek them and find your way to Christ. I made a video on that not too long ago that I don't care what religion you are. The most important thing in life is remembering why you're here and seeking out Christ and finding Christ and applying Christ, doing that in your life, regardless of the church. The church is just a building. The gospel of Jesus Christ is pure. Living the gospel, if you're in a dark spot, then change what you're focused on. Recognize that if you focus on dark things, that's all you're going to see. But if you focus on light, if you focus on joy and love, wherever you can find it, and make that, like me and you talked earlier, change your algorithm on social media. Put stuff in front of you that is good and wholesome and uplifting. Seek out Christ, seek out God wherever you can, and your life will change, and God will present Himself to you in many different ways, because He is just waiting. And it's that vision, apply yourself to that same vision, because everybody has pain in life. Everybody feels like they're not enough, they're inadequate. Put yourself in that position, and Christ would love you and hug you the exact same way. And all your pain and all your frustration, all your sorrow is gone, because He died for you. He would do it if you were the only one. I don't care who it was. Christ died for you specific. Anybody listening to this, or anybody watching the video or anything, apply that to your life. And it's just about recognition. You just got to be able to recognize Christ, and recognize also that Satan has a job to do as well. He's good at it. He's really good at it. He's had thousands of years to focus on how to tear us down and not live up to our potential, how to make us focus on the wrong things. But that's what life is about, is choosing joy and focusing on that rather than falling victim to what He wants you to.
I feel really blessed that Brent was able to find your video, because, you know, obviously what Heavenly Father and the Savior told you to do, to spread, you know, the word, you know, being able to use us in a small way, you know, I just feel very humbled and blessed to be able to be a small part of that. So, yeah, just very thankful.
You guys are doing amazing things. Just any positivity that you can share, anything spiritual, needs to flood people's social media. We need to make that the norm instead of all the other crap that Satan puts out there. Mm-hmm. I was on a very spiritual live on TikTok not too long ago, and I'm watching this live, and they're talking about super spiritual things. And right at the very bottom was like this smutty advertisement. And it's like, man, I can see the contrast there. They're both fighting for our attention. Christ he's right there. He wants us to pay attention to Him, and He's giving us everything. And then Satan's like, hey, look at me, focus right here. There's such a pull, and everybody's experiencing it.
Oh yeah.
You guys are doing amazing things. Keep putting out this type of content, because people need it. There's a void in people in their lives right now. And I can't stress enough that everybody that's on earth right now, and we know this as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, everybody chose to be here. And it's just that getting them to remember that, getting them to recognize that, hey, I've already made the choice to be here, and I know that I'm here to fight it, and then giving them the right tools. And Christ is the answer. He's the answer.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for being here and for sharing your experience. We always ask everybody to share something that they know to be true at the end. You already did a lot of that. So if you feel like if you feel like you have something else that you want to share really quick, that's fine. If not, I can cut this out and we'll end it.
That 1,000% the purpose of life is about recognizing that we have a choice and to choose love and joy over everything else. I know that to be true with all my heart.
Amen.
Love you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Love you.
Have a good night.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.